Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Welcome, everyone, to Aggressive Negotiations. We're so excited to be here at a little diner that we love here on Coruscant. Dex has opened up the place. I'm joined by the one, the only, the powerful, the beautiful, the intriguing, John Mills.
And I'm joined by the humble, deferential, forgetting to introduce himself, Matthew Rushing.
I totally do that all the time. Like,
I'm it's like, become a thing
I know.
Now.
Like, I need to, I gotta introduce John. And so, yeah, I mean, maybe it's just the Jedi way to think of others first.
Dex should not have opened up the liquor. That's the problem.
There is something in that Jawa juice. That's all I know. So,
honestly, I am dying to find out, because when I heard Jawa juice for the first time, my first thought was juice from squeezed Jawas.
Just sounds
which
disgusting.
Is disturbing. And why would a Jedi drink that?
I don't know. Maybe maybe it's a juice that's created like by the Jawas and it happens to be really good.
That also leads to disturbing possibilities.
I don't mean that kind, anyway. Okay, let's get off this topic, John. Okay, so I was thinking about something the other day. And I sit in an office. I work from home. In my office and a lot of the things around my home remind me of Star Wars, and specifically the collecting of Star Wars. And as I look at you through the lens of the computer, and I can see into your office, I see a lot of things that, well, you've collected around Star Wars. And I was thinking, I wonder what John's first Star Wars toy or Star Wars toy experience was. I want to start there. What do you remember what your first Star Wars toy experience was?
I can tell you what my first Star Wars toy memory was. I don't know whether it was my first toy. I have a couple of very distinct action figure memories. One of them being, and this is a testament to how big Star Wars was, in the grocery store.
Nice.
In the checkout line, there were action figures. And I remember that is how I laid my little paws on Walrus Man, now known as Ponda Baba, but he was known as Walrus Man back then. And that is, I want to say that's my first memory of a Star Wars action figure. Because the thing is, the grocery store always got, you know, they weren't going to get the tier one figures.
That's true.
Although honestly, if you think about it, I guess they were getting what would later become chase figures, because they were all shipped out to the hinterlands where I was living. So yeah,
question is, did he like you?
Yes, I was his Dr. Evazan. We got along famously.
That's excellent.
That's my first. I think that Han Solo and a Jawa were in the first mix of toys that I got. And yeah, man. And that, yeah, those are the first three that I remember. What about you? What was your first toy?
So this is interesting. Obviously, for me, grew up more in the dark times. You know, by the time that I had seen Star Wars, it wasn't in the theaters anymore. It was only on VHS. Of course, by the time I saw it on VHS, I'm watching it all the time.
Sure.
And we had some friends of ours, and their kids had, like, all the Star Wars toys. But all the Star Wars toys were, like, in the garage because they didn't play with them anymore. Wow. And we were watching their house for the summer because they were on a couple of vacations, and we were, like, hanging out their swimming pool and stuff. I found the Ewok village in their garage. So
no
I,
way.
Of course, bring it inside. And I'm like, I don't want to swim. I got the Ewok village to play with. And not only that, but they had the Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi with the telescoping lightsaber.
Oh, yeah.
Still intact.
Yes.
And, oh,
now,
my
see,
gosh.
That's still intact?
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
And so for me, that was my first experience with Star Wars toys, because by the time that I was into Star Wars, the toys weren't around anymore. So I didn't have the opportunity to, you know, do that thing where you got to go to the store and you got to see the wall of Star Wars toys.
Yeah.
You know, and it was so frustrating. But I just remember having so much fun playing with this Ewok village that summer and, you know, trying to see if they had more figures in the garage, you know, and were able to find a few Ewoks and some other characters and stuff. And it was just, it was a great experience. And it really set my heart to wanting the experience of having more Star Wars toys. And that's what made me so excited when the special editions came out, because they ramped up the toy production again. And of course, you got the Power of the Force line. And of course, I started collecting those because, well, by that point, you know, I'm a teenager and I can buy my own stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny because the thing is, I consider myself very lucky in a sense to have grown up during the first wave, like the first big wave of Star Wars figures that Kenner was putting out. I mean, they basically defined my childhood. Those figures were all I wanted. Those play sets, those anything were all I wanted. I was even less about the play sets, to be honest. I concentrated on figures and vehicles because those little side vehicles that they came out with were the bomb diggity. They were awesome. Kenner outdid themselves, and it really did shape my entire childhood. Like I was so focused on those Star Wars figures. I actually have a memory. I actually apologized to my dad many, many years later when I realized what a little jerk I was, because my dad, every so often when he would, he'd come home from work, he'd swing by, he'd have to stop off somewhere else, but it was near the toy store, the Toys R Us.
Oh, nice.
So he would go in and he'd get me, you know, an action figure. It was a little special treat for his boy. And, you know, I would go nuts. I was like, oh, you know, it's this little trinket. And I had my heart set on 2-1-B one time. And he brought me home instead, because he didn't want to come home empty-handed, another snowtrooper. So this was my second snowtrooper. And I remember getting sad because I wanted 2-1-B so badly. And it was many years later, I thought back, like the memory came back to me, and obviously it stuck with me now. And as soon as the memory came back to me, I like went to my dad and I was like, wow, man, like you went out of your way for that thing. And I was so ungrateful. And, you know, of course my dad's like, whatever, whatever, whatever. You were a kid. I got it. But it, that's just how focused I was. And the thing is, Kenner turned, I think, an entire generation, especially a generation of collectors, into obsessive compulsives, because you had that card and on the backer card, you had all of the figures laid out, and you had the send away figures, you had all of that stuff, and it was Pokemon of its day. Do you have Luke? I have Luke Bespin. Do you have Luke Jedi? I don't have Luke Jedi. Where's Luke Jedi? I can't find Luke Jedi. Huh?
Do you have Shorty Robe Luke?
No. And this is the thing, is I did grow up sort of in the middle of nowhere. When an action figure broke, the heads broke on those things all the time. Mm. Okay, the telescoping lightsabers. I'm in awe that you found a figure that had a telescoping lightsaber still in it. Those were always the first to go. But the heads would break off of these things. Like popping a soda top, right? They would just pop off. And my dad, he had his little workroom in the back. And he would just super glue the heads back on. So the heads never turned around. I still have a Luke Skywalker
That's
sitting
awesome.
On my shelf that has like the little super glue epoxy ring around his neck where it like bleeds
That's
out and
awesome.
Everything. And he fixed that head. He fixed Greedo's head. Like there are so many figures where the heads had to be glued back. I think Princess Leia is the only one that never lost her head. So I maybe at night they were, you know, really Highlanders and they were all trying to rub each other out. You bring up when the toy line was resurrected, you know, when the special editions came out, but shortly before the special editions, I think you said Power of the Force.
Yeah.
The toy experience was so different in the 90s because, yeah, I was old enough to buy my own toys too and everything. What did you think of those figures, the new molds, when they first came out with them?
Well, everybody looked like they were on steroids.
Yes, they did.
So Princess Leia had a very weird face.
she had an odd stance,
yes,
too,
yes,
I would offer.
Yes, she did. And then, yes, of course, we got our first, you know, Hutt Slayer Leia. And mm-hmm. so, you know, your slave Leia came out for the first time. And, of course, being a teenage boy, well, I wanted Hutt, you know, Slayer Leia in
but
my
But see,
room.
That's what's so interesting to me, too, is that I think is really a sign of how the market changed. Was, I think, because growing up, there was no Princess Leia in slave outfit.
Right, exactly.
When we were a kid. It was a part of the movie. We all knew about it, but it wasn't a toy that we collected. I think that her, that version of her coming onto the market is a very clear indication of, at the very least, the toy mm-hmm. manufacturers knowing yeah. that their original audience had grown up.
Right.
And they had to target them a little bit differently. And it's, I think it's so interesting because I considered personally that toy line to be something of a disaster in a lot of ways. But I mean, it was obviously successful enough to, you know, to justify its existence.
Well, and then, you know, some of the fun figures that just came out in that time period in the 90s, you know, they also did some of the, and I actually have them on my wall still. I was able to find them in a shop. That came, they still are all packaged. They have their 3D play scene that you could use as well with
Ooh.
Them. And it was Thrawn and Mara Jade. You know, so they started oh, to yeah. dip into the expanded universe. I even have a set that has a Heir to the Empire comic inside of it with the Luke uh-huh. and Mara Jade. And it's still all
I
in its packaging.
You're
yeah. And so, you know, some of those things that they started to do where they really were, I think you're right, they were going for the hardcore fan and the collector. They were thinking more towards that line. And you're absolutely right that they captured that audience.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people got into it, you know.
And, well, it's also interesting to me because you had Shadows of the Empire, which was, you know, the movie without a movie experience. And so, you know, you had Prince Xizor and all the different figures that went along with that. And they were cast from the same sort of molds.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a Xizor for a while. I always liked that character. He was good. But and technically he appears in The Phantom Menace because they used his figure on the overpass at the starting line.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's like their little cameo for him. But I mean, when we move into special edition territory, you know, obviously there's even more of a wave of stuff. Like for me, I just watched that documentary Plastic Galaxy, right? Which is looking back on the stuff from my childhood, mm-hmm. The Kenner line and everything like that. It looks back on it very lovingly. It's okay. It's on Prime. So it's, you know, if you're an Amazon Prime member, it's bundled in with everything, you know, it's fun to watch largely for the nostalgia, but something that struck me about it when I was looking at it is, and I want to get your take on this, I think that to a certain extent, the latter-day Star Wars toys lost some of their imaginative quality. And by that I mean their focus seemed to shift from creating stuff that was not just in the Star Wars galaxy, but could have been just off screen or in some side story, more over to stuff like it didn't happen immediately because there were still ancillary things that came out around the time of Shadows of the Empire. But as it's moved forward, it seems to be that their focus is on simply replicating as realistically as possible things you see in movie, period. And I mean, I want to get your take. Am I missing something? Is there some aspect of the toys that I've just missed? But that's, I just see some sort of spark that seems to have gone out of them.
You know, that's a really good question. And, you know, I think for the most part, they have gone that way. And partly because, well, everything that we get now that comes out officially is, you know, whether it's a comic or it's a book or it's a movie or a TV show, it's all canon. So there's no like expanded universe anymore for them to dabble in and play with in that sense. Like where, you know, when you got the Mara Jade and the Thrawn character, you're like, oh, this is so cool because it exists only in the book, you know, like, and it was the first time you'd seen kind of like other than the artwork on the book what that character looked like, you know? So there was that fun of that happening as well. And we don't really get that as much anymore. I mean, it's kind of just a, you know, I mean, just example. They just brought out, and I haven't been able to find it yet because it's really hard to find, Darth Revan as a Black Series figure. Yeah, from KOTOR, which, you know, I know you don't love that game, but millions of people love that game.
Hold on, full stop on that one. I just haven't played it.
Okay.
It's not that I have anything against it. It's just that I haven't played it.
So, you know, great character from that game, but it is just a one-for-one with that game. I mean, it just... So I kind of hear what you're saying. You know, there isn't as much of that. And part of this is there's so much now that they can do.
That's true.
You know, from the films, from the TV shows. I mean, you've got Rebels and Clone Wars and, you know, you're absolutely right. You kind of end up with just the... And that, I think, leads you to being where I am. It's like, well, I can't collect everything, you know, anyway.
Right.
So you have to start to get really picky about the things that really mean something to you as a collector or, you know, with the toys that you'd want to have or whatever. And so, yeah, it's not quite the same. But, you know, I also see that joy when my, like, niece gets one of these figures.
Yeah.
And it's still giving you them the experience that we had in a lot of ways, like, oh, I've got Ahsoka, you know, or
sure, but I mean, like, I don't know, is it some sort of like vicious circle where they know that their core buyer is going to be an older collector who's going to buy it and put it on a shelf, as opposed to a kid who is going to be rough and tumble with it? Like, I am in fact proud of the fact that I have nothing mint condition from my childhood,
right? Right.
Period. No qualifiers, no anything like that. My toys were treated rough because I was taking them out in the front yard. There was Princess Leia in her Hoth gear from Empire Strikes Back. I had that figure. And I lost that figure playing in the snow because it was important to me. It snowed outside. I took my AT-AT walker. I took my action figures. I went out there. I staged this little side battle on Hoth and everything, dug stuff up, blew... You know, spent, you know, probably too long out there, ran and had some hot chocolate. Realized with dawning horror that Princess Leia, in her efforts to escape the Empire, she had hidden herself so well that I couldn't find her. Flash forward to the summer when I'm mowing the lawn.
Oh, no.
And the tire rolls over something and I look down and there she is, buried in the ground. And I'm able to pull her back up and I pull her out. I was like, awesome. Soak her in water, let some of the mud come out of the joints and everything like that. And so, like, I would love to see, you know, they have those, like, make your own lightsabers things.
Yeah.
Why not come out with some stuff then that is around the idea of, you know, it has all of the parts of a U-wing or an X-wing or a couple of Y-wings or something like that. Build your own ship, like a giant-sized Mega Bloks Lego version. Like, I'd play with that.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things where I think... Like, it always makes me think of the Lego movie where the dad, no, this must all be presented in this pristine, perfect way, as opposed to just tearing it apart and blowing it up.
Well, and, you know? And I think you bring up a good point. So, you know, obviously I'm an adult too. Well, kind of. Anyway, let's not get into that.
We are man children.
Yeah,
Matt.
It's something like, man boys. So I'm at Toys R Us and I am purchasing some Lego sets, some Star Wars Lego sets, by the way. And I'm looking at the action figures and everything that they have for Star Wars, and I noticed that they have an AT-ACT, the new, you know, AT-ACT from Rogue One.
The Beach Walkers.
Yeah, the Beach Walkers, basically. I like that better. It's so much easier to say. And it's over $300. I'm like,
wait,
who the
what?
Yeah, or it's, I think it's $299 or something. But like,
oh well, I mean, that's the thing is, $300's crazy. $299.
Yeah,
come on.
But my thought reasonable. Was, it's like, who can afford to buy their kid this toy in the first place? Like, you and they had the same thing. They had a Black Series X-wing from TFA.
Yeah.
It was just astronomically expensive. Yeah. You know, and it was like so big you could barely, as an adult, pick it up and play with it anyway.
I've seen the box. They have a TIE fighter like that too. Yeah.
And I'm right there with you. Like, we're creating these things, but they're not really for the kids to get to really sit there and play with it. And you know, I mean, you know, they have the normal 3¾ action figures that the kids not now, and they only have 5 points of articulation anymore because it costs less for them to make it. And it, they can try and keep the prices down, although, you know, still paying $8 for one of those is kind of crazy. And so I see absolutely what you're saying, but like, riddle me this. Why do we have all these wonderful Rebels action figures, but they don't even have a ghost to fly around in?
Oh, no, that's okay. No, but see, the thing is, okay, you know what? I'll take that. The ghost, I think, is a good way. We didn't get a Death Star, right, when I was growing up. We got a Death Star playset, which was like this little rinky-dink plastic and cardboard thing, where it was, you know, an approximation of a cutaway of a section of the Death Star. Why not get a ghost playset? You know, like the Ewok playset or something like that. Why even make the ship? Get something that's a cutaway or build something, you know, but yes. You know, I see that point too. Like,
well, I mean, because, you know, you get the Millennium Falcon back in the day, or, I mean, they have a U-Wing or an X-Wing, and you could put a figure in there, and you could fly it around and stuff. I mean,
the Falcon was amazing. Yeah. You lift it off the top. You had the holo chest. And the coolest thing was that you had to put the figure in upside down to sit in the gun turret, which really drove home the whole point, because I remember being a kid. That's how it got drilled into my brain. Oh, okay, that's what they're oriented differently sitting in those gunwells than the rest of the cockpit.
Because exactly.
That's something that's very, you know, it's a little tough to wrap your head around with the movie when you're a kid. But, yeah, and like, you flip down the one landing gear in the front and you could hold it to fly around. That was pretty awesome.
Well, and one of the things that I think is interesting now, and I have to commend them, and I am super jealous because they have all these Star Wars Legos now. They didn't have those when I was the age that I would have really loved them, where I would have been playing with them all the time and stuff. But I have to say, you know, Lego has done the better job than even Hasbro, because they have made the Lego Ghost that you can do all those things with. You can put all the figures in and play with, and then you can build new things. And so I think Lego has really taken over a lot of those areas and created an opportunity for you to not only play Star Wars, but then create your own Star Wars, you know, because you can do all the things that you're talking about. The toys don't get to do that as much anymore, but you can now do that with Lego, which is awesome.
So do you think that it's just that things have hit? I mean, I think that this is definitely part of it. I'm not saying anything that's like, you know, earth shattering here, but is it in any way fair to say that we've come to value the toys too much, that the problem is us, that we have created the environment for them to flourish by selling the $300 Lego set? Can we ever go back? Can we ever turn the clock back? I don't think we can, because back in the day, Star Wars was virtually the only game in town. Like, everybody followed behind them for how to go about things. Is there an opportunity for the Star Wars line to truly innovate and take us in a new direction?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm thinking back to my nieces here where I live, and their oldest really likes Star Wars and specifically likes Rebels, and she has a bunch of the action figures, and I've given her some of my old action figures from Star Wars. And she likes playing with those. You know, she'll play with those the way that we're talking about, you know, her and her dad for a while were actually creating these funny little YouTube videos with them. Like, she was creating
awesome.
Her own stories with the characters.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it was really funny.
Do we have permission to share those links, or are they locked down?
I will find them and I will put them in the show notes, the ones that they made. Yeah, it's
awesome.
Very funny. It's just, you know, it's a kid's idea of creating a story based on the things that she knows about Star Wars. And she hasn't seen all the films because she's a little too young for that, so... But yeah,
no, that's great though.
I
want to encourage that. I want to encourage, if we can, I want us to share those YouTube videos, because I want to encourage her creativity. That's a wonderful thing. Okay, so all right, so we've been grumpy old men for a little bit here. I want to shift. What is your most traumatic Star Wars toy story? What is your most emotionally damaging or saddest or what have you? Like, something bad happened to one of your toys or you misplaced something. What's your most traumatic toy story? Because we all have, I have several dozen, but we all have a couple of toy stories where, you know, we're like, oh, and then it fell off the wall and I knew it was never coming back or something like that.
I think for me, one of the saddest things that happened, and it actually just happened recently, was the very first Lego Landspeeder that came out. I bought, and it sat on my bookshelf for the longest time. And then I got married, and I moved, and all the yada, yada, yada. And so, and I've started collecting Star Wars Legos again as an adult. I swear I'm an adult, people. And
nobody's going to judge you, man. And no, nobody listening to this show is in any position to judge
that's
us.
That's probably true. So I went looking for that. I was like, it's got to be somewhere. And I still have all my Legos from growing up because I kept them. If I ever have kids, I want them to have them. And that's the wonderful thing about Legos. It lasts forever if you're careful with them. And I realized that somewhere along the line, I either lost it or I gave it away or something, and I just don't have it anymore. And it was a really, like, frustrating thing to myself of, like, why did I let that go? That was such a fun... And it wasn't... I mean, it was... If you can look it up online, and it's a rinky-dinky set. It doesn't look half as cool as the ones they have now. And I bought a newer set. Not the newest one that they have, but I found it at an antique store, actually. But that one, it was just, you know, it was the first Lego Star Wars set that I'd ever had, and I don't have it anymore. And I was just like, oh, that sucks, man.
Yeah.
And it was that connection of it being the first one, you know, like the first Lego set that I ever got that was Star Wars.
I can tell you a story that's a little funny, although it's...
Oh, I kind of want to hear this.
Okay. Well, the Twin Pod Cloud Car, I can tell you, is one of the ships that I've always been obsessed with. I've always loved it. It's I remember seeing it for the first time. I was like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen, except for the Falcon, which is also in frame. And one of our neighbors, because I had my Star Wars toys all over the floor all the time because there was no point in putting them back on the shelf.
That's just silly.
And one of my neighbors stepped on it and broke the cockpit, the canopy.
Oh.
And so, of course, my dad's solution was just to super glue it shut. I was like, so no figure could ever go into it. So I had to come up with these elaborate explanations. I was like, okay, well, he hotwired it so that only he could fly it. And it was a bad story. But there were also funny. I had these two younger cousins about 5 years younger than me. And they would come over and they would play with my stuff. And I mean, again, I think Kenner turned a bunch of us into OCD maniacs when we were kids. I had my stuff out and I played with it. But after a certain age, I became very careful with it. I became aware that it was becoming irreplaceable.
Right.
So these two cousins came over, and I went upstairs for whatever reason, make lunch for them or something like that. And so I go upstairs, and I came back downstairs, and I opened the door to the back basement room just as this pile they made with all of my Star Wars ships, the Rebel Transport, the Twin Pod Cloud Car, the Landspeeder, the Falcon, basically almost every ship that I had collected over the years in one stack, which is sort of an impressive feat when you think about it, because these were oddly shaped vehicles. And I opened the door just as every single one fell over and the pieces broke off and flew everywhere. And you would think that, you know, being, I guess I was around 12 or 13 or whatever, or no, I actually, the house we were living in at the time, I would have been around 11. You would think that an 11-year-old seeing this happen to his beloved toy collection would have swept in like an avenging angel and just beaten the snot out of these kids. I remember being so angry, so like unable to function angry. I was like the emperor, and I just opened the door and I saw it and it fell over, and there must have been something in my eyes because I looked at them and I didn't yell. I just said, you're going to clean all of that up. and it's going to be in perfect condition when I come back. And I closed the door and I walked out, and they were able to repair everything except for the one piece of the speeder bike that they lost. But that was a very pivotal moment.
You walked
in
like the emperor, and you were like, clean it up. All
yeah, yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, it all snowballed. Like in the 90s, I was obsessively collecting stuff. Every last red cent that I had in my pocket throughout college went to Star Wars figures and cigarettes. Okay. Two odd obsessions to have. If I hadn't been a smoker, I could have afforded more Star Wars toys. That's my biggest regret. But
as it should be, John.
Right.
As it should be.
Yes. The closet underneath the stairs in the first house that my wife and I lived in, I turned off the outside water because of the freezing temperatures, right? And this was around Christmas time. And we had a live tree. And in this closet underneath the stairs where I turned off the water were all of my assorted Star Wars toys that I had no room for. You know, it was a townhouse. So we didn't have like, it was like, I'm going to put this out when we get into a real house. And I mean, I had coin banks and I had stuff still in the box and I had books and I had all of this stuff that was just beautifully, pristinely preserved. And I was still spending money on it. I don't know why. And all of the stuff is in there. And I'm out there with, you know, the Christmas tree, and I'd set a present down. You know, I had a Christmas next to it, and I picked it up to move it, you know, to clean up some pine needles. And I noticed that an edge was damp. Oh, that's not right. I start feeling the carpet. I'm like, there's water here. Did we overfill the tree?
Oh,
right?
No.
No, the tree's fine. Everything's fine. Where's all this water? This is right up against. Oh no. Oh no. And it was up against the wall where the closet under the stairs were. And I opened it up, and when I had turned off the faucet, whoever had installed that before we moved in had done a bad job, and it was loose, and the thing had just been dripping, one drip at a time, for, I don't know, a month, right? Everything was ruined, completely ruined, and I just had to go in and just throw out all of this stuff. And I would say that was the moment in time where I went from collector and started edging over toward, I'm good. I buy much more selectively because I suddenly realized that in one fell swoop, everything can get destroyed. And it's like, you know, that's a traumatic thing that I'm dead serious. It has an effect on you years later. When you're like,
yeah, definitely.
It really tempers you.
You know, it's funny you say that. I was thinking of, midway through from high school into college and stuff, you know, I didn't have a ton of space anyway, so I really got into collecting the Unleashed series figures because
they
were all of those your favorite characters in these amazing poses, and it was kind of like buying a nice statue of your favorite character, but it was like 20 bucks. Yeah. And, you know, so I have a ton of them. I've got, like, Obi-Wan. I've got the Anakin and Obi-Wan from Mustafar where they're, you know, they kind of link together. The Luke Skywalker one, you know, obviously Princess Leia and her Hutt Slayer outfit, Padme. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like, all of these awesome characters in these incredible poses and stuff. And for me, that was actually my first kind of gateway into realizing, you know, I'd rather, I mean, I still have lots of stuff. I still have lots of figures and stuff. But for the most part, I have tended to like more of the, like, now the Black Series figures, the 6-inch ones. Or there is a group from Japan, Bandai, and they do this HF Figurts. And I've shown it to you because I have the Obi-Wan Kenobi from Episode 1 and Episode 2. And they're like the Black Series, but like way better, but they also cost a little bit more. So yeah, I've gotten into that kind of stuff. And it's like you said, you just become more selective and you find the things that will actually mean something to you when you look at them on the shelf than just, I buy everything because everything doesn't matter and nobody has space for everything unless you're Steve Sansweet.
Yes. Rancho Obi-Wan.
Which I've been to, and the place is like, you know, collecting Mecca, but I mean, I don't have a whole barn to put my collection in or the money for it.
It's crazy to me the staying power that the toys have had, because G.I. Joe is relegated to you know, I mean, there's still an affectionate side of me for G.I. Joe. There's still
right.
An affectionate side for Transformers. But nothing has ever touched Star Wars figures. I don't know if anything ever could. Is there anything that could ever, you know,
Avatar toys?
They were on clearance in Target when that movie was out. I guarantee you those box office numbers were inflated. But the, you know, the closest I've ever seen come is like superhero stuff. Is it just that superheroes, they weren't as popular when Star Wars came out, so Star Wars sort of inserted themselves in there? Like, do you see any sort of toy line that could in some way upset the apple cart, replace Star Wars from the top of the heap?
You know, the only thing that, and obviously they have Star Wars too, but, you know, the Funko Pops have been a thing that have been able to take off. And they yeah. encompass everything, you know, and it's from TV shows like Breaking Bad to Star Wars to, I mean, anything that they can put into that little figure, they've been able to do. And I think that's gotten a lot of people into, like, collecting and enjoying collecting for a myriad of different things. But that's yeah. a line that's really taken off. It's not specifically just one thing, but it's, like, pretty much anything that, I mean, they... Gosh, they had Saved by the Bell characters.
Do you think that that one has the staying power because it's basically from every, like, they've covered their bases? It's from every possible genre.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, and I think you're absolutely right. I mean, like, you think about it, that kind of line draws from everything, whereas just the Star Wars toys, you know, I think, like, I've got on my wall right now, and, you know, the Clone Wars came out in a really weird time for the collecting, right?
Yeah.
And the toys didn't do great for them. And part of that was just, you know, you didn't have a marketing arm like Disney behind right. the toys and everything. Or the show. I mean, you just didn't have that. And so the Ahsoka figures are kind of rare, especially the ones from the fourth season and beyond, where she gets the okay. new outfit.
Yeah.
Or I guess the third season. And... So I really wanted one, and I was doing some editing for a friend podcast-wise, and they paid me some money to do it, and I used that money because I wouldn't have had it already, and I went on eBay, and I finally bought one, and it was a ridiculous amount. I mean,
sure.
So, but it's still on my wall, and it means something to me because that was a character that I grew to love so much in that series and is very close to my heart. My wife loves that character now, too. We always look for cool Ahsoka stuff. And the coolest random story is there's this tiny little antique store, and we go there with my brother-in-law and my niece. We're looking at all these toys. They have a lot of toys there. And we're looking at something else, me and my brother-in-law. My wife's like, "Oh, this is cool." It's an Ahsoka Pez dispenser still oh. in the box with the Pez.
That's cool.
And she's like, "I'm getting this." And we're like, "Oh no, let me have it." Like, and she's like, "No, I'm getting it." It's on my wall in the office now. She gave it to me. But I mean, it was one of those things, like, it was so cool because it's Ahsoka and it's just a really random thing, you know? So things like that have been things that have stood out to me. And then, you know, I guess the biggest things that I own collecting-wise that really meant something to me were the ones that I saved and I bought. And it was yeah. the Obi-Wan Mythos figure mm-hmm. from Sideshow and Obi-Wan Kenobi's lightsaber handle from Episode 3 from Master Replicas. So those things actually sit in my living room because those are actually... I mean, those are expensive pieces, and those are the most expensive things I own in my collection.
I would have to say that the prizes of my collection presently, there was the last Christmas before our first child was born.
So when you still had money.
Yeah. Basically. No, but for Christmas... my wife got me a Darth Vader, like it was the original trilogy replica one. You know, like the figure is the new mold.
Yes, yes.
But they put it on the old card, mm-hmm. and they had like the protective case around it. I remember that it was so incredibly meaningful to me that I actually cried because I was like, this is so beautiful because you, like, this isn't, it wasn't anything I'd asked for. It wasn't anything that I'd even really been aware of. And it was like just this ultimate, like I still look at it and I'm like, it's such an ultimate gesture of somebody mm-hmm. paying attention
yes.
to,
yeah.
you know, what is important to you. Mm-hmm. There is a Jar Jar dancing coin bank that I have, courtesy of one of the other hosts on this network, Mike Schindler.
Nice.
Who found it in his parents' attic. And he like put out, he tweeted out this picture. He's like, oh my gosh, look at this thing. And I was like, 400 quatloos. And he just sent it to me. And I was like, you're the coolest person ever.
That's awesome.
And he didn't even charge me a single quatloo. Yes. And it's, I mean, it's insane. I mean, it's a testament to how out of control the marketing got back in 99. Because it's a dancing Jar Jar coin bank. And then I have a master replica Luke slash Anakin. But Luke lightsaber from Empire Strikes Back, because at Celebration 3, my wife, I saw it and some dealer was trying to clear him out, but it was like $100. And I was like, I can't justify that. My wife went off and came back and she's like, now it's yours.
That's
and I was like,
awesome,
wow.
man.
And actually a story tied to that was when we were coming through the airport to fly home. I was not going to check that.
Yeah.
I was not going to check that, obviously. And so I had it go through the x-ray machine, and I'll never forget, it was the closest I've ever come to like giving lip to an authority, like an armed authority figure sort of thing, where it goes through the x-ray machine and they see it on the x-ray and the guy goes, what is that? I go, it's a lightsaber. He goes, is it a weapon? I was like, Luke Skywalker used it in Star Wars, I guess. And like I had to talk to the guy. I was like,
gosh.
It's a toy, dude. It's still
in its
box.
It's a really expensive toy.
It doesn't even have batteries in it. I can't even blind somebody with this thing right now. And it was just it was the most surreal experience to me. It was the real lesson for me for like how nuts airport security had gotten. Where I was like, okay, number one, we were about the same age. How the hell do you not know what a lightsaber is? Even if you haven't seen Star Wars, everybody knows what a lightsaber is. I say lightsaber to a stranger on the street, and they go, oh, yeah, that thing from Star Wars.
I'm surprised you didn't say back, yes, for a more civilized age.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, it's crazy. Like, I was ready to take it out of the box and, like, show the guy. I'm like, look, it's embarrass me in front of everybody. It's a toy, okay? My wife bought me a toy on this trip. So... yeah, man, that's
All of this talk has reminded me of the saddest Star Wars story that I have about my toy or collection.
Yes.
So you remember when Episode 1 came out? And
I'm vaguely familiar with that.
Yeah,
time.
It just, I mean, and there was only the marketing for it was kind of small. I mean, you couldn't really find a lot of stuff for it. The toys.
It was tough.
Yeah,
it was tough. You had to work really hard. To
yeah,
find anything.
You know, you could have used a product for every part of your day when that movie came out, and it could have been Episode One related, even if it was just eating grapes.
technically, some women shaving their legs were using a Jedi communicator.
That's true. So
there
true.
You go. The dirty movies on the holiday.
7-Eleven had those amazing cups with the toppers, right?
Yes, I remember them.
I've lost them. I don't know where they are. They're gone. I lost the box that they were in. And that is the thing that bothers me. I had all of them. I had Anakin and Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon and, you know, Watto and Darth Maul and Jar Jar.
That is
hands
down heartbreaking.
They're just, oh, man.
That is terrible.
I just feel like, Luke, that's not true. That's impossible.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, like, I lost them. It was awful, man.
That is just...
When I realized in one of my moves, I was legitimately heartbroken.
I got another one to throw at you. My last sad Star Wars story. I had the complete card collections from the original movies.
Oh, wow.
Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi. The original Topps cards. had them all, every last one. Even went so far, I won't tell this story on air, but I'll tell you some other time, the awful story of what I did to make sure I got the full set of Return of the Jedi.
Wow, everybody's going to want to know that one.
Well, not many people are going to know that story. There's still somebody that probably wishes me dead. But we were moving, and so we, for some reason, we had given some of our moving boxes to my uncle's family, and then they moved, and those cards in that move were lost for all time. And the moment where I realized that was, I mean, I remember feeling physically gutted because I was so looking forward to seeing those cards again. I still remember the images on the cards. I still remember the smell of that awful, probably cancer-causing bubble gum. I still remember all of the, I even saved some of the wrappers. Oh my gosh. And they're all gone. I mean, and the thing is, it's not even on the level of like, you know, I know how much they could have gotten me because they were preserved well, but just like I'd give anything. Well, I wouldn't give anything, but you know what I'm saying? Like I would give like whatever for an opportunity to get those cards in my hands again, read the backs, flip through them just one more time. I would love just one more time. And I think that for me really sums up why these toys stick with us for so long, because there is that fondness. They are always going to be able to call that fresher, more innocent time up for us. We're going to be able to remember a piece of ourselves that's back there too.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. It's funny. I'm just imagining what did John do? Was John in a wood paneled room going,
nobody's going to know on air. I'm never, ever going to tell this story on air.
Yeah.
It'll never happen. All I will say is that at the end of that day, I had a complete Return of the Jedi Tops card set. And that is as much of the story as I'm telling on the air.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what's great about this, John, is that it makes me want to hear from the listeners and what they think about, you know, all of their toy collections and the things that they love. So, you know, make sure you hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty. Also hit us up on Twitter at @joinnerdyparty or, of course, the Jedi Masters. Either the one of those, perfect place to hit us up with your favorite toys and or toy stories and your pictures of your favorite toys. If you want to add to your collection, though, John, we could add to your Star Wars collection with an ultra exclusive. I mean,
that's true.
Star Wars fans, there's nothing that we love more than ultra exclusive things, right?
That is true.
So all you need to do to enter to win this ultra exclusive baseball style t-shirt that says Aggressive Negotiations, it's got our logo on it. John and I both have one of these shirts, so you could be cool,
yes,
just like
do.
The Jedi Masters. Go to iTunes. Yeah. Hit us up with a star rating and review by May 1st, and you could be entered.
And we actually have a new 5-star review from MSU Go State on iTunes, where they said, awesome Star Wars show, called us amazing, and said that, you know, and usually we don't read like, you know, word for word or everything, but the hosts are obviously really good friends and they really know their Star Wars. So I'd say both of those statements are true.
Yeah.
And thank you for that review.
Yeah,
that's
thank
wonderful.
You so much. So and you're entered now for your ultra exclusive Star Wars t-shirt from Aggressive Negotiation. So yeah,
yes.
We'd love to give it to you. If you've already given us a review, you're already entered as well. And if you haven't gone and given us a review, just it takes about a couple of minutes. You know, you don't have to write long, but star rating and review. We got to have the review because we have to know who you are so we can pick you.
Yeah.
And we really do appreciate everybody who's done that for us already because, you know, it helps us grow. It helps the show grow. And we want to make sure that you know that you're appreciated by giving you something you can't get anywhere else.
That's right. And this is only open to U.S. residents. So we appreciate that we have gotten reviews outside of the U.S., but the contest has to be limited to within the United States. But, Matt, where can they reach you online?
Well, John, if the listeners would like to reach out to me, they can do that on Twitter, MattRushing02. I'd love to see your toys. I'm on Instagram at MRushing. You can also, this is a great place, obviously, to, you know, tag us in the photo so we can see it. In fact,
put your pictures of Star Wars toys out there and tag us.
Yeah, we'd love to see that. You know, tag me or John. We're both on Instagram. I'm MRushing. He's Kensel Junkie everywhere. You can find me on the Trek FM network talking about Deep Space Nine with Chris Jones on The Orb. I'm doing the General Geek Show there, talking about all the fandoms that we love, the 602 Club, and of course, Star Wars, a 602 Club collection. All of those are on iTunes. And then here on the Nerd Party Network, I'm with Treya Kaufman talking about Harry Potter, the book series. We're going through each and every chapter of Harry Potter. We're kind of a little bit halfway through now with the first book, and that is Owl Post. So check that out on iTunes as well. John, before we go, don't let us be remiss by not telling us where we can find you.
Well, like you mentioned, I am Kessel Junkie on Instagram and just about everywhere else. That's my name. And you can find me here on the network, also co-hosting Great Shot Kid with Mike Schindler, where we look at non-Star Wars work of Star Wars creators. I'm co-hosting Words with Nerds with my pal Craig, which is a bit of a free-form show. We color outside the lines there. And I'm also on the Trek FM network, also with Mike Schindler, co-hosting Stage 9, which is what I said about Great Shot Kid, only for Star Trek creators. But with all of that said, I think there's only one thing left to say, Matt. I think it's time to close negotiations.
John, negotiations are closed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.